is the Past Lives podcast, episode 193, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Past Lives podcast is to investigate evidence that demonstrates survival of the human soul. We will look at past life memories, near-death experiences, spirit communication, and other incredible phenomena. And this is the free one-hour version of the episode. The extended episode is an hour and 24 minutes. And to get access to the extra 24 minutes and the other extended versions of the episodes, you can join the Past Lives podcast Patreon campaign. When you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you can get an extended episode every month. And there are now over 38 extended episodes available to the $5 patrons. And you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast. Or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. Also, when you book a past life regression hypnosis session with me, and you're a patron, you get a 25% discount. And I'm offering a free consultation call which can be booked on my website. And please check out my new podcast. It's called the Alien UFO Podcast, and I will be releasing new episodes every Monday, and you can find it on almost every podcast app. There is a Past Lives Podcast Facebook group, and if you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. The links are in the show notes, and you can find the show notes for this and every other episode on my website. My Instagram is the Past Lives Podcast with an underscore between each word, and on Twitter I am at Simon G. Bowne. This week I'm talking to Adam Dintz about his book, Back to the Beyond, Exploring Near-Death Experiences Through Hypnosis. Adam is a hypnotherapist certified at the Institute for Neuro-Linguistic Programming Center and the International Hypnosis Federation. Adam specializes in current life regression, past life regression, and life between lives regression. In addition to hypnotherapy, Adam is a medicine man and is founder and healer of Sacred Stairways Hypnotherapy and Healing. Adam is also an adjunct professor at the University of St. Thomas and the University of Wisconsin. Hi, Adam. Thanks a lot for coming onto the podcast.
Hey, Simon. It's great to be on your podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
I saw your book. It's called Back to the Beyond, Exploring Near-Death Experiences Through Hypnosis. And I thought, that's got to be worth a read. That sounds fantastic. And I've read almost the whole book, and it is really fascinating. So could you tell us, though, how did you first get into being a hypnotherapist?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll spare you the long story if I can. In my spiritual path, I started to come across the topic of past lives and reincarnation, which absolutely fascinated me. And at the time when I first started to learn about these different this sort of new belief system, I didn't believe in past lives when I started learning about them. But I became fascinated by, you know, all the different writings about past lives, such as, you know, the Buddhist writings about it. And obviously, there are quite a few books I read, which led me to Dr. Michael Newton's books and to a variety of different hypnotherapists who worked with people and took them back to past life memories. And I was so fascinated by that. And that led me, I found a psychic many years ago who did a past life reading on me. And it was absolutely fascinating, Simon. The stories, the past lives that she read for me seemed completely fairy tale-like. When I say fairy tale, I mean, not that they were all roses and sunshine, but, you know, they were pretty out there in terms of past life experiences. But they all carried similar themes as to what was going on in my life in this lifetime, which to me was so incredible. Not so much the stories that she was describing to me, but the experiences that I had in those stories of my past lives, which really tie into, like I said, into my current life experience. And so once she did that reading for me, I was like, you know what, I really want to have a past life regression. I really want to do one of those. So I ended up finding a hypnotherapist here in Minnesota, in the US here where I'm from, who studied with the late, great Dr. Newton. And he specializes in past life and between lives regression. And I went to him and experienced a past life regression. And it was one of the most profound experiences that I, you know, to this day that I've had, you know, to sort of experience a past life and see it with your own, if you will, your own third eye or whatever it is you believe that you see these things through, was just mind blowing. And it changed my life because, you know, I sort of, all the things that I was worried about, you know, all the little things didn't seem important anymore because the way my mind was working was, well, shoot, why am I sweating this meeting coming up tomorrow? I am an eternal soul that lives all these multiple lives. Why would I worry about a 30-minute meeting, which is like a blip on the screen? Like, why, you know, why is that important? And the more I thought about that past life experience, the more I, past life regression experience, you know, the more I wanted to learn how to do that. You know, I'm in addition to being a hypnotherapist, I'm also an energy healer. You know, I practice Reiki. I'm a Reiki master teacher. You know, I'm a medicine man. I serve sacred medicines. I have all of these different modalities that I practice. And I thought hypnotherapy would be a fantastic addition to that because I just was so passionate about what I'd experienced and I wanted others to experience the same thing that I had experienced. And so that led me to, you know, going to hypnotherapy school and learning how to do past life regressions. And, you know, in terms of hypnotherapy, it was interesting. When I went into school, my intention was to learn how to do past life regressions. And I thought that's really where I wanted to focus my career. But I think, you know, a lot of people associate hypnotherapy is with past life regression, but as you know well, there's also current life regression and otherwise known as present life regression, which essentially allows people to go back into their childhood or other areas of their life and sort of heal those deep-seated traumas that happened to them when they were children or wherever else in life that they experienced whatever it was that they need healing from. And I've really found that to be an incredibly, and when I say enjoyable, maybe fulfilling is a better word, experience even more so than past life regression is just being able to help people in this lifetime cope with some of the traumas they've experienced. And so, yeah, it's been a beautiful ride, Simon. I have to tell you, I love hypnotherapy. I'm passionate about exploring these avenues of what happens to us after we die, or I should say after our physical bodies die. And so that's how it all sort of came to be.
And you also talk about a conversation you had with a medium that was a life-changing experience.
I sure did. You know, my dad, what started this whole thing is my dad passed away in 2005, unexpectedly. And, you know, up to that point in my life, most of my religious beliefs came from, Christianity. And when my dad passed away, you know, the pain was so deep, it hurt so bad. You know, nothing really in my spiritual studies really helped me to cope with what was happening with my dad or even understand it or why is it happening to me. And, you know, my dad raised me by himself. So, you know, losing my dad was like losing both of my parents at the same time at 28 years old. And so a dear friend of mine who owned a set of very successful restaurants here in Arizona, she had mentioned that she worked with this medium out in Los Angeles and she trusted him with her life. And, you know, she said, Adam, if I were you, I'd talk to this guy. He's the best. He's never been wrong. And of course I was Mr. Skeptic. You know, I never believed in mediumship. I thought it was evil. I thought anything that had to do with whether it be psychic or any supernatural or mystical abilities that people had was of the devil. And so, but I was in so much pain, Simon, that I needed to find something to help with that unbearable loss. And so I came across this medium from my friend, the restaurateur, and on a whim, I called him. And, you know, when he answered the phone, you know, he was a little bit surprised to be hearing from me. He wasn't expecting it. And he tried connecting with my dad for a few minutes while we were on the phone and it didn't, you know, he had a little bit a difficult time doing so. And he asked me, you know, how long has it been since your dad passed? And I was like, well, it's been 2 days or so. And he said, okay, well, sometimes it can take, you know, these spirits a little bit longer to make their way to the other side so that, you know, and they need, not to make their way to the other side, but to regain their energy once they're on the other side so that they're able to communicate. And so he's like, give it a week or two and then give me a call back and let's see if we can connect again. And so we hung up and I was like, okay, well, there you go, right? It's all a bunch of hooey. And, you know, a few hours later, the phone rings and it's this medium. And he begins to, he says to me, Adam, first of all, I just want to apologize to you. He's like, your dad came to me when I was in meditation. I didn't have a pen and paper, so I didn't write anything down. So I want to articulate, I want to like share what I do remember. And, you know, he started off by saying that, you know, in his 20 plus years of being a professional medium, it was the most emotional experience he'd ever had with a soul, right? That has left the physical form. And he said it was the first time that a spirit had ever come to him looking for somebody specific. And so, and then he went on to say so many things that, you know, were true about my father's relationship with me. We have a very difficult relationship. I didn't share anything with this medium before he called me back. And, you know, Google in 2005 isn't what it is today, right? I mean, my dad was a 78-year-old jazz musician in Cape Cod. And so there was no Googling him and me and finding out our life story. But he had it down pretty well. And even some of the things that he shared with me about my dad, I didn't know to be true until after the reading. And I went and I asked some of his friends and other family members about it. And they validated that all those things were true. And so, you know, for me, that was really the life-changing sort of catalyst moment for me was experiencing that reading back in 2005. Because what it did was it opened my eyes to the mystical. And it got me thinking, wow, all this stuff, not that what I had been, you know, what I had believed for so many years was wrong, but here's this whole other world of things that I had never even heard of before, which got me into learning about, you know, out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences and astral projection and shadow figures and, you know, remote viewing and all this really cool stuff that I had never heard of before. Aliens, UFOs, you know, Bigfoot, right? all these out there topics, all of a sudden I was a little bit more open to and wanted to learn more about. And, all of that has been a pretty linear, move forward or path forward in sort of how I found hypnotherapy and medicine and Reiki and energy healing. And it's just been a beautiful, journey. And what I've learned through this journey is that our grief, the grief that we experience when we suffer with that grief, it can really change us in profound ways, in ways that we don't realize it's going to change us when we're going through the sorrow, when we're going through that pain. And I'm so grateful for my dad, you know, to leave the way he did. Even though it was traumatic, I understand why, at least in terms of how it's impacted my path in life and the things that I needed to do and pursue in this lifetime. And so, it's been quite the experience.
And with past life regression, it can be so healing for some people and also in most unexpected ways. Could you tell us perhaps one case you've had like that?
Well, I'll just share my own story, Simon. I mean, I've had lots of my clients who have had past life regressions who, you know, they figure out why they're so afraid of death in this life, right? Because they going through a death experience in a past life that they had, or why they have a phobia of, say, water or fire, something happened to them in a past life. But, you know, one of the interesting things I found, Simon, is that most people who come in for a past life regression are expecting this sort of like, you know, an experience that mimics a rock movie. You know, it's like this action-packed science fiction, you know, or whatever action movie where, you know, all this really cool and interesting stuff is going to happen. Oh, I was with Jesus, or I lived in a different planet, or I had all these really cool things happen. And, you know, in my past life, and I've had clients like this too, it wasn't anything exciting. You know, I mean, the way I look at it is if you're able to see a past life, right? Like what's more exciting than that, even if it's a mundane one at best. And my past life was pretty mundane that I experienced. And But what I learned from that past life, you know, I moved into my death scene, my death memory, was that in that past life, I never really let anybody in. I loved people at a distance, and I saw different memories. I saw family members at parties and events, and I was standing in the corner just letting them do their thing. And I didn't understand why I was seeing all of this and why this life was so relevant to the current life I was living until, you know, when I came out of hypnosis, I realized that I'm doing the same thing in this life. You know, I'm keeping people at arm's length and, you know, I'm not loving people the way that, with as open of, as a heart as I need to. And I realized that was the biggest part of my work in this lifetime, bar anything, was to learn how to love. And to accept love and to give love freely. And so that was a really profound experience for me. So it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't fireworks. It wasn't, you know, the symphony playing, you know, Beethoven's Fifth or anything like that. It was a very mundane past life experience, but it was so life-changing in the sense that I finally understood what my purpose was. And I think sometimes, Simon, I get lots of, when people call me for past life regression, they want to try and figure out what is my purpose in life? You know, what am I supposed to do in this lifetime? And, you know, a lot of times I think people are looking for a specific occupation, right? They're like lost in their jobs. They're lost in their careers. They feel like life's pretty meaningless and there has to be a bigger meaning to life. And why did I come here? What is my purpose? And one of the most fascinating things, I'd love to hear what your experience is with this, Simon. Because I'm just one person, but most of the people who end up figuring out what their purpose is through a past life regression, it doesn't always happen, but it's always something really simple. It's very similar to what near death experiencers experience when they, you know, go back and ask, why did I have to come back? You know, what was my, I died, my physical body died. I went home, as they call it, you know, to the other side. Why did you send me back? Why did I have to come back into this body? And, you know, the lessons that the answers that they get on the other side, as well as what people experience, and at least with me in past life regression, is it's always something about love. It's always something about learning how to love or being open to love or experiencing love. It's always something around that theme. And that's the purpose. That's why they're here. That's why we're here. And, you know, what I find really fascinating about that is if I had given that answer to the people when they came to me, right, and said, hey, Adam, I want to experience a past life or a near-death experience regression because I want to find out what my purpose is. If I said, oh, well, your purpose is to love and to experience love, they would laugh me out of the room. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not good enough. I need to know X, Y, and Z. Yet when they go into hypnosis and they get these answers that are the same thing, love, whatever, they completely accept it. It's the utter truth. There is no other truth. And they come back with a whole different perspective on life. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful gift that we can get through the process of hypnotherapy, is to really understand that life isn't as complicated as we make it to be. We choose to make it that way. We choose to think that we have this really grand purpose in life. You know, we're going to invent the next Facebook, or, you know, we're going to do this or that. But really, it's so much more down to earth, to use that probably an inappropriate euphemism there. But yeah, it's just learning to love and be love and experience love.
It's like if you're taking somebody through a past life regression and they meet with one of their spirit guides and they ask, what is my purpose? They're never going to say, well, you need to spend more time in the office.
Right. I love that. I love the way you said that. That's absolutely right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then it's, you know, and then it's a matter of, well, how do you integrate that message into your life? Because does that mean that everything else I'm doing isn't important, right? And I think a lot of people struggle with that. And, you know, the reality is no. The key is to learn how to do those things. Like if it's love, which is what you, if that's the message you get, well, how do you bring that into the workplace, right? It's not a matter of, oh, well, I shouldn't have this 9-to-5 job because that's not what my purpose is. It's like, no, you're in that job for a reason, right? You're in that job. You're on your path. You're living out your karma, whatever that is. But now it's a matter of, okay, well, how do you take those lessons and bring it back? Similar, you know, to the old, chop wood, carry water, get enlightened, and then you chop wood and carry water. And I think sometimes we get stuck in that enlightened phase where we never come back down, and we expect, you know, we expect to live in this mystical world. And we do live in a mystical world, but it can become really hard to ground back into who we are here in this human experience. And so, yeah, the human experience oftentimes involves doing things that we don't necessarily enjoy doing. It's just part of the path that we're on. And so if we can learn to bring our hearts and our joy and the purpose, the larger purpose, the inner purpose into the things that we do in our outer purpose, which may be our job or whatever it is, I think life can become a lot more peaceful, a lot more meaningful.
Hello, listeners. This is Simon. Now, as some of you know, I have a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy, and I'm certified in past life regression therapy. And in the past few weeks, I've taken many clients through some amazing and healing past life regressions. And I conduct sessions over Zoom, and I've had clients from many countries around the world. Now, when you go through a past life regression, you will feel totally in control and remember everything. And also, I record the whole session and send you an MP3 afterwards. And this gives you space to relax and go with the flow, knowing that you can listen back later and analyze what you experienced if you need to. So if you ever wanted to explore your past lives in a single session or have an issue you want to work on, you can go to my website at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk and book a free 20-minute consultation. And at the moment, I'm offering a 25% discount to everyone that has signed up to the Patreon campaign. The link is in the show notes. You did these sessions with these people who've had near-death experiences, but when did you first hear about NDEs and what did you think of them?
Well, near-death experiences to me were one of the first, call it mystical, mystical experiences that I'd ever really heard of. And so this is many years ago. I used to listen to a Coast Simon, or Simon, I don't know if you ever listened to this radio station or this radio show. It's called Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's still on the radio, but it used to be on, you know, back when I was living, you know, back when I was younger, it was on from like 11 at night to like 3 or 4 in the morning. And so I would stay up all night and listen, and they'd cover everything. I think it was meant for truckers, you know, who are driving late nights, and it was something interesting for the truckers to listen to. I could be wrong on that. That's just my theory. But they had all kinds of really cool guests on that would talk about government, you know, government programs that were focused on remote viewing, where we taught U.S. spies how to remote view into Chinese nuclear laboratories and to see what, you know, and sort of spy on what the Chinese were doing. And, you know, and all of these other different types of mystical things. And one of those were near-death experiences. And, you know, for me, I was struggling at that period in my life still with my dad's loss. You know, even though I spoke with that medium in 2005, I was diagnosed in 2017 with PTSD related to loss. I mean, I had a lot of people who crossed over way too soon in my life, and traumatically. And so I came across near-death experiences and sort of my path of recovery. And it was so unbelievable, you know, how somebody, and I honestly didn't believe them at first, because they seemed like, how do you die and come back, right? Like, how do you remember all this? Oh, it must be a dream. It must be some concoction of the brain firing when you die. And that's, you know, and it causes this dreamlike experience. And maybe that's the brain's way of peacefully dying, right? I mean, if you get into a car accident or have a heart attack, you know, your brain perhaps wants to make the crossing over, if you will, just peaceful. And so it does that with these images and this, you know, these visualizations. And but they were just, there was just something so profound about these stories. And of course, that's when I first learned about near-death experiences and started, you know, listening to as many different accounts as I possibly could. And I credit near-death experiences for helping me in this journey of healing through my dad's loss, because it gave me a lot of hope and faith that when we do leave our bodies, that there is more to life than just going back into the soil and becoming food for, you know, for the trees.
Yeah. Part of the near-death experience is a out-of-body experience, and you had one of those yourself as well.
Yes, I did. I did. So astral projection was something that one of the first things I learned about in terms of mystical experiences after I had that reading from that medium. And at the time, I would just hear people's stories on Coast to Coast AM about it. And I was like, okay, whatever. Because until you've had one, they all sound a little bit weird, you know, like what's wrong with this person? They must have some serious mental issues if they're thinking they're flying out of their bodies, you know? And then I saw this movie many years later called, what was it called? It was called, oh boy, it's slipping my mind, but it'll come back in a moment. But it's a story about a young boy who leaves his body at night when he sleeps, and he travels into, you know, the ether, if you will, or into the astral plane. And when he does that, he's somehow like held by these entities, and another dark entity is trying to enter into the empty body that was once this boy's, because his astral body now is in the astral plane. And it's a really cool movie. I love that movie, and I'll think of the name of it here in a moment. But and so I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I kind of forgot about it. And then years later, I came across this guy named Ryan Cropper, who offered to teach people, you know, through YouTube videos, how to do astral projection. And so I tried that for a while, and I eventually gave up, because, you know, it takes a lot of practice and a lot of exercises and time and quiet. And I didn't really have any of those at the time. And so I was like, well, I guess it's not in my path. It's not something that's going to happen to me. And I remember talking to someone else shortly after I gave up on astral projection, who said, you know, Adam, you really don't want to experience that until you're ready anyway. And so if you're going to experience an out-of-body experience, it's best to wait till it happens naturally and not force it. And I was like, okay, well, that sounds like good, you know, good advice to me. And so fast forward maybe like a year or two, I was lying in bed one night. It was, you know, I was struggling to fall asleep because we had some neighbors in the backyard that were not in our backyard. We had some neighbors in their backyard having a party that was going a little bit late. And I was getting really frustrated because you know how it goes, Simon. It's like some people can fall asleep with noise. I can't. Like I need peace and quiet when I sleep. And I could not get it. I mean, it was just, you know, every once in a while you hear woo or some kind of noise. It's like, so I just was lying in bed and I was just anger, just frustration going through my body. And then all of a sudden I felt like my body start to tingle. Now, when I had read about astral projection, you know, I had learned about sleep paralysis and what sleep paralysis feels like. And typically astral projectors will typically describe sleep paralysis as like the first stage of astral projection. Like you have to get into that sleep paralysis stage in order to be able to pop out of your body. But they described the sleep paralysis as something much different than what I was experiencing. They explained, and this was everyone that I had listened to or read books I'd read on astral projection, was it can feel like a really intense tingling and it can be really scary. It can feel like you've got like a demon sitting on your chest and it can be really hard to breathe. And a lot of people freak out when they have sleep paralysis. And so I was expecting to experience that if it was sleep paralysis, but what I was experiencing was just this very gentle light tingling. And I felt like I was sort of being not sucked into the bed, but I could really feel the bed supporting my body and in a much more comfortable way than I think I'd ever experienced it before. And I said to myself, oh, I wonder if this is sleep paralysis. And I wonder if, you know, I can pop out of my body. And so I'm having this conversation with myself thinking, what's going on? And so I remembered a couple of techniques that I had learned about in studying astral projection, which is where once you get into that sleep paralysis state, you can try and roll, you know, to one of your side, you know, roll on your side to kind of pop out of your body. But I had also read that to be careful with that, because you could end up rolling off the bed. If you really weren't in a sleep paralysis state in your body, you could hit your head on, if you have a night table next to you and whatever. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to roll off the bed because I don't want to get hurt. And so, and then there were two other practices. One is you sort of visualize a rope coming down from the ceiling of the room, and you sort of slowly pull yourself up on that rope until your soul or your astral body is out of your physical body. And I couldn't really visualize that rope. And so that wasn't working for me. So the other method I had learned about was just, you know, sit up, right? Just sit upright in bed. And that can also cause you to pop out. So that's what I did. And the next thing I know, I'm floating above my body. The best I can explain it is my back was, you know, facing the ceiling, and my face was facing the bed, and I was right at the ceiling level, and I was looking at the bed, and it was really dark in the room, and I could see the shadow of my body. I could see my wife's shadow of her body laying in the bed. I could see the dogs laying in the bed, but very shadowy. It was like very dark in the room, obviously, so it wasn't like clear, but I was out of my body, and I knew I was. And it's interesting, and the way I explain this to people is similar to how I hear near-death experiencers explain or describe what it feels like when they're out of their body, which is there's no more connection to your physical body. And when I say there's no more connection, you don't feel attached to it, right? So like, Simon, you and I will look in the mirror every day when we're getting ready and, you know, shaving, brushing our teeth. If you have hair, brushing your hair, I just kind of like make sure mine's not, you know, my baldness looks appropriately bald and not moderately bald.
Okay.
And you identify with that person, right? Like you're like, oh, hi, I'm Simon Brown, or I'm Adam Dintz, or I'm whoever looking in the mirror. And there's that attachment. Even if you're the most Buddhist of people and you're like, I'm not attached to my body, you know, I am not, I am the observer, or, you know, whatever your spiritual philosophy is, at the end of the day, we're all human and we do associate ourselves with our body. But in this case, in this out-of-body experience, there was no connection. It was like a stranger lying on the bed. And I didn't even care. I wasn't worried about it. I wasn't worried about my wife, right? Like I wasn't thinking about, oh no, I'll never get back. None of that. I just felt free. And I felt like I had this purpose and this mission. And I was like, okay, so how do I travel? How do I get out of this room? That was the only thing that, when I say was on my mind, I mean, you take the word mind for whatever, maybe consciousness is a better word than mind. But in my consciousness, I was trying to like move myself out of the room. I wanted to explore. I kind of felt like a balloon sort of with helium in it, and that I was floating, but I couldn't control my own direction. It was like, if a breeze comes by, maybe I'll move. And so anyway, long story short, or long story longer, before I had the opportunity to try and move, the neighbors got loud again, and I vlooped right back into my body. And I was lying in bed, and I was just staring up at the ceiling in awe. I couldn't believe it. And I shook my wife. She was in, you know, as I said, she was in bed next to me. I shook my wife, and I was like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened. She's like, what? I said, I just had an out of body experience. And she's like, okay. And she went back to bed, and I was like, of course she thinks I'm crazy, you know, but it really happened. And it was at that, you know, it truly was, you know, I had that past life regression experience. I had sat with various sacred medicines that, you know, cause all types of connection with Mother Earth and with the universe, you know, all that is, you know, expansion of consciousness. I experienced all of that. But to be out of body in that form was the the final straw that was like, yeah, we are so much more than who we think we are and what we think we are. We really are these souls, these essences, these, I don't know what you call it, but we're not our bodies. We're so much greater than we think we are, so much vaster than we think we are.
And when you were out of your body, obviously, you weren't like, it was a dream and it's a bit hazy and it wasn't.
No.
Like you're in your mind's eye, you were imagining it. It was actually you there in that other space.
Yeah, it wasn't a dream. I never closed my eyes and I never opened my eyes. When I came back into my body, it was a seamless experience. It wasn't like waking up from a dream at all, like where you're like, oh my God. I just was back in my body. And I was looking straight up at where I was. Like there was no, it was as continuous as this conversation is. It was as seamless as this conversation is. And I've experienced multiple things like that. I mean, it wasn't just my out-of-body experience. You know, I had a dog. He was my best friend, a Cocker Spaniel named Sam. And he passed away in 2014. He had unexpectedly, and unfortunately this happens with our pets sometimes, but he had been struggling with cancer for I don't know how long it was. The vets never caught it when I took him in for checkups and for procedures or things like that. But you know, one day he died out of nowhere. And I was so traumatized by that, Simon, you know, probably a little TMI, but you know, he was all I had in this life. And I lived my life as a loner for many years. And you know, when he passed away, I'd always said to him before he died, I said, when you pass on, I don't want to live anymore. Like, as long as I can make it, you know, just Lord, don't let me die until you die, Sammy. That was sort of my prayer every night. And when Sam passed away, I was like, well, I really don't have much to live for anymore. And I was ready to just, you know, call it quits. And not to say that I was going to commit suicide or anything like that, but it definitely was a thought that crossed my mind. And about day five or six into this just grief and sorrow and pain, I was laying in bed one morning and I looked down, I noticed by the foot of my bed, where my feet are, there was sort of this, it almost looked like there was a big balloon under the comforter. And this big balloon kept coming up closer and closer and closer to, you know, the covers where my head was, you know, the comforter where my head was. And all of a sudden it popped out and it was Sammy. And he looked like he was 2 or 3 years old, like when I had first adopted him. And he had this energy and this radiance and he was playing and we were playing in bed together. And we were having the most beautiful time. And Sam, when he was about 4 years old, he was diagnosed. He had chronic ear infections. There was nothing we could do to help his ear infections. And so he didn't play a lot because if he moved his head too fast or whatever, it would hurt him. And so, he was playing again. He hadn't played in like 6 years leading up to his death. He's very sweet. We would always lay together and he would eat his bones. And, you know, if I grabbed a toy of his, he'd play for a minute, but then he'd go lay down. But he was just in this puppy state again, playing and just unbelievable. And I don't know how long this lasted for, Simon, but when the time was done, he went back under the covers and under the comforter, and he zipped all the way down to the foot of the bed and he was gone. And I never woke up. Like my eyes, I didn't wake up from a dream. I was awake the entire time. And in fact, it was seamless. I grabbed my phone that was on the nightstand next to me as soon as Sammy left, and I was crying and I was laughing. And I called everybody I could to tell them what just happened. And that was the moment that, I think I, you know, started to heal from that loss. You know, I got dressed that day for the first time, and I, you know, like in the movies, you know, where the person's completely depressed and then their friend comes along and says, "You need to wake up, pal. You need to do something with your life. You're falling apart. Get your stuff together." And that was like that moment for me. And I've had so many of those experiences where it wasn't a dream state. It's just not, it wasn't a dream. And I know, and people go, "Oh, of course it was a dream. You were sleeping," similar to my out of body experience. But I know, I have no reason to make this up. I'm not trying to impress anybody. you know, this is just my life, and I'm grateful for it. You know, it's really helped me to understand. Again, I don't know why I've experienced all of this, Simon, but for whatever reason, there must be some sort of karmic recipe in this life to understand who we are outside of the skin and bones that we walk around in.
So how did it come about that you would regress people back to their near-death experiences?
Well, So I was I am a part of this group on Facebook called Near-Death Experiences. And, you know, I had read so many books, Anita Morjani's Dying to Be Me, and Dr. Eben Alexander's book, Proof of Heaven, and all these incredible books. And when I found this group on Facebook, it was like, wow, I'm actually like reading people's firsthand stories, right? Like people on Facebook who I could talk to and like ask questions, you know. And you'll find in that group, most of the people who are in that group are people who haven't experienced near-death experiences. They're just looking for answers, right? Just curious about it. And but one of the interesting things that I had read through going through a lot of these different posts was something really interesting, which I hadn't taken from the books that I had read, which was a lot of people who have these near-death experiences, when they come back into their bodies, right? So in a near-death experience, there's some sort of catalyst that causes you to die. It could be a heart attack, could be you get in a terrible car accident, could be a debilitating disease. You know, in the case of Anita Morjani, and I mentioned Dying to Be Me, her book, she had stage 4 cancer and basically the cancer killed her. Dr. Eben Alexander, I can't pronounce what he had, but he had some sort of meningitis in his brain that caused him to go into a coma for 10 days, right? So whatever it is that causes you to enter into the state. And what happens then is in some cases, not all cases, people leave their bodies. They have an out-of-body experience. And some people will stay remotely in that room, whether it be the hospital room or wherever it happened, until they pop back into their bodies. Others will go to what I call the beyond, hence the name of the book, Back to the Beyond, right? And at some point, and why it's called a near-death experience, is that the people come back into their bodies, right? So they go and explore. The people who do leave, they go explore, and then they come back with all of these stories and experiences. And so, and it sounds like, wow, like, boy, you have a near-death experience and you don't have any more questions about life, right? Like you've gone to the other side, you've gone home. You know, most people who have near-death experiences refer to the place they go to as home. It feels like a place so familiar to them that they've always known and they've always been. And you would expect, okay, great. Well, you have that happen to you. What more do you want in life, right? And I even recall after reading these books thinking, I want to experience a near-death experience, right? Like I want to have one just so I can see what it's like. And of course, thank God that never happened, right? Who wants to wish? Because it's normally not a pleasant experience, which causes you to get, you know, to get to that state. But I was just so curious about what happens after we die. I just wanted to experience to know for myself firsthand. So, but one of the things I was surprised about reading in these posts is a lot of people have the question, well, why did I have to come back? You know, why I mean, think about it. Like you're in a terrible car accident. All of your bones are broken. You go to this perfectly, you know, nirvana-ish like a place, and then you're sent back into your body. And then you wake up, and then you have to go through all this physical therapy, and you eventually got to go back to work, and you have to pay bills. And you have the same family members that you had before you had that accident or whatever happened. And life can be really hard because now you're juxtaposing two different experiences, right? You're juxtaposing the beyond experience to the earth experience that you're having in this physical body. And so people come back with this sort and have sort of this spiritual dark night of the soul. It's essentially a spiritual depression where it's like, why did I have to come back? Why am I here? Why couldn't I have just stayed where I was? And so reading through these stories, I found, you know, like, wow, I'd love to help some of these people get some answers, because Lord knows they've helped me, you know, get answers to you know, the pain and the grief that I had helped me find closure. They helped me find closure through their stories. And so, the thoughts started percolating in my mind at that point. And then of course, in other people's accounts, they had questions like, oh boy, if I could go back, here's what I'd like to ask, right? Here's what I'd like to know about, you know, about my current life. You know, I mean, if you think about it, Simon, when you die and you meet God, whatever God is to you, whatever that experience is that you have, you know, the last question you're going to ask is, you know, why am I an insurance broker? It's just not going to cross your frame of reality because you're in awe about where you are. And so a lot of people still had questions about why did I have to go through this and what's the purpose of that and why did this happen? And so this thought started percolating in my mind, which was, well, if I can regress people back to childhood memories, if I can regress people back to past life memories, then shouldn't I theoretically be able to regress people back to their near-death experience so they can relive it and remember the different things that happened more clearly? Because that also happens, Simon, is a lot of people forget, you know, over the years, even the most profound experience starts to gray out a little bit and there are pieces that you missed. You know, I talked to Jesus and I can't remember what Jesus said to me and I want to remember what he said. I want to remember it clearly. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe I can regress people back and they can relive this so that they have a fresh memory of it. And I did some searching online and I really couldn't find any other people who had, you know, studied and really put work into doing this. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to test it and see what happens. And so I reached out. I had two or three friends in my life that I knew that had near-death experiences. So in the book, there's a case of a guy named Johnny, as an example, who I've known since, I don't know, over 20, 25 years. But back when swine flu was a big thing, he ended up catching swine flu and pneumonia. And he ended up going into a coma. And he had a near-death experience where he visited both heaven and hell. He saw both heaven and hell. And I write about his account in Back to the Beyond. I reached out to a couple of people in my life who had near-death experiences. And I said, hey, if I could regress you back, and I'll do this for free comp, I'm not going to charge you for it because I want to just see if this will work, right? For me, it was an experiment. And I was like, would you be willing to go back to re-experience your near-death experience? And they were like, absolutely. And so I was like, okay, cool. I have three people. All three agreed, hands down, no problem. But I knew I couldn't, like three people wasn't enough. So I went back into that Facebook group and I posted, you know, hey, if you'd be interested in doing a past, you know, or a near-death experience regression, I explained what it was, you know, let me know, reach out to me privately and I'll be happy to, you know, to set some time up with you. And so I had quite a few people reach out. And so I spent the next 2 months doing regressions every night with people who had had near-death experiences. And one of the things that, one of the really cool things that I discovered, Simon, was, you know, when you do a current life regression or a past life regression, you're taking people back to the memories of what happened to them, right? Or what they experienced. And I thought what was going to happen with these near-death experiencers is that they were going to go back to the memories of their near-death experience. But what ended up happening was not a revisitation of the memories, but they went back to the beyond, which is why I called it, titled the book, Back to the Beyond. They went back to the realms and the dimensions that they visited when they had their near-death experience. But this was like going back for the first time. Now, many of them still saw the same entities and people or beings, if you will, that they experienced during their near-death experience. Not all of them did. Some experienced brand new entities and beings that they didn't experience in their near-death experience. So, but with that said, even the ones that experienced had the same entities, beings in this regression that were in their near-death experience, it was like re-experiencing it for the first time. So they didn't have the same things happen to them in regression that they did in their near-death experience. They were brand new experiences, except for Johnny. Johnny was the only one who had a very similar experience in his regression with Jesus that that the others than the others did. Almost all the others were completely unique, and they were shown new things that they hadn't been shown in their near-death experience, and that was a beautiful thing, because what I learned through this whole process was this isn't really a regression, in its purest definition, because regression means to go backwards. It's something else. And it's just getting them, it was just changing their frequency in their brain. What I've learned from it, what I believe is happening, is getting them into that state of hypnosis changes that frequency in that brain just enough, like switching the station on a radio or on a TV, changes it just enough that they open back up to those dimensions they visited. And since they were already familiar with those pathways, and most people who've had near-death experiences will tell you that they've maintained that connection to the other side. They have new gifts and abilities and things that they came back with, you know, whether it be psychic abilities or mediumship abilities or the abilities to heal or the abilities to whatever. So they have this new ability. And so that ability tied in with that switch in brain frequency allows them to really go back and explore and travel those dimensions. And all of them found closure and got all the answers that they were looking for. It was really beautiful. And so, you know, the trade-off was, as I mentioned, I did all of this for pro bono, if you will. And the agreement that was made with these folks was, you know, if it does work, which it did, and I decide to write a book about it, you give me the permission to share your stories. And they did. And so that's how the book came to be.
Was the session, everybody that did the sessions, was it positive for anyone? Did anybody regret doing it?
Nobody regretted doing it at all. It was positive for everybody. And, you know, it was definitely emotional. It was definitely emotional for a lot of people. but I think that you could say the same, you know, the same for anyone that goes through any kind of regression, right? Whether it's current life or past life, it's a very emotional experience. And so, but it was beautiful. You know, people got reunited with their, you know, their spirit guides or Jesus or loved ones who had crossed over that got answers to the questions they had. You know, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the people who had that dark night of the soul, why did I come back into my body? Why do I have to be here? Almost all of them found peace with being back in their bodies. And these are people who struggled for years with being back in them, but now they found peace with it, and they understand what their purpose is and why they had to come back. And all of it, Simon, as I mentioned earlier, was tied back to love, right? Like, oh, I understand now my purpose is to truly love my family and show my family what real love is. I mean, as an example, and it's beautiful. You know, when people have that aha moment, it's life-changing, whether it's regardless of the type of hypnotherapy they're doing. And it feels weird to call this hypnotherapy because it's so out there, you know, but it's hypnotherapy. I mean, you're really helping people who have near-death experience get closure and find peace and compassion for their experiences and what's happened to them in life.
So it's a real therapeutic outcome. It's positive. Some of the people's encountered Jesus during their near-death experience, and
yes,
they all saw him differently. And one of the people, like you said, wasn't even religious. And I think the lady Kristen said Jesus for her looked like Bob Marley. So why do you think it is that everything's so different for everybody?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give. I'm glad you asked. What do I think versus what do I know? So I'm going to share with you what I think, because nobody really knows, right? But here's my philosophy, and this really applies. And I'm sure I'll get some hate mail for saying this, but I think this applies to all religion in general, anyway, or faith or spirituality. There's an old, I believe it's Tibetan analogy of the six blind men and the elephant. So essentially, if you Google it, you'll find a picture of six men that are blindfolded, and they're all touching different parts of an elephant. And you know, there's one blind man who's touching the side of or the body of the elephant and says, "Oh, this is a wall." And there's another one who's touching the tail or the ear and says, "Oh, this is a fan," right? And everybody, each of the blindfolded men that are touching the elephant are describing what they're experiencing, and it's all different what they're saying they're touching, but in reality, they're all touching the same thing, right? And I tie that into near-death experiences. I tie that into religion, that we all have different truths. We're all seeing truth just a little bit differently. But we think what we're experiencing is the absolute truth. And and in my experience, there is no such thing as an absolute truth, because we don't know, you know, like we don't know. If you talk about God, for example, right? You can say, okay, well, God created everything. Well, who created God? Well, God always was. Well, how do you explain that? Well, I can't, just was. Okay, great. So we all get back to the same place where none of us have any answers. We just have things that we believe or things that we know based on what's happened to us individually. So what you find in if not just my book, but if you read a lot of near-death accounts, there are people who experience Jesus from other, even from other cultures who weren't raised to believe in Jesus, right? But they see Jesus in their near-death experiences. And but not necessarily as the guard archetype that we you know, that Western and the world tends to look at Jesus as. They see him more as a guru, a teacher, a spirit guide, an enlightened person. And then you get people who, you know, believed in Jesus as as part of their faith as they lived here, you know, on Earth. And when they die, they see the God archetype of Jesus, the Son. And what I mean, I think there's some part of that, Simon, which is some people who have near-death experiences sort of see what they expect to see based on what they believe their whole entire life, which makes sense, because if you think about it, you know, if you were to die and let's say you believed in Muhammad your whole entire life, and what you learn with near-death experiences is that people don't get rid of their personalities when they pop out of their body, right? So Simon Brown doesn't lose his Simon Brownness or Simon Boundness when he pops out of his body, right?
Yeah.
Simon experiences being bodiless, but you still know who you are. You still have your belief system. You still have all of these things that you just can't forget about it, right? Like it's there. It's one of the reasons why in past life regression, we can remember who we were and what happened to us in past. We never forget, but when at the moment of departure of your body, it's still very real, that person who you thought you were, that personality. So if you were someone who was raised to believe in Islam or Christianity, and when you left your body, you saw something completely different than what you had believed in your entire life, you might go, oh my God, what is happening? And it could be traumatic. As hard as it is to believe that when you die, physically die, you could experience something traumatic. You theoretically could, and some people do. Some people experience going to hell and they're in the fire and it's, oh my God, it's extremely traumatic. And a lot of people come back and experience, you know, with near-death experiences do come back. Shouldn't say a lot. There are a percentage of people who come back with sort of those darker experiences. I haven't had any clients who have had that, but I've read them. And so, but again, if you were to experience something you didn't expect or didn't think was real, it'd be shocking. And so what you find with a lot of people is they, you know, people who are devoutly religious tend to have devoutly religious near-death experiences. And those people who aren't tend to not, but they can still have those beings there if they've sort of heard about them or know about them, or maybe their family was Christian, but they weren't. So they're, you know, the concept of Jesus is still a very strong presence in their life, whether or not they believe in him. So, okay, well, Jesus or Rasta, man, right? Everything's going to be all right, man. Right. And there's, oh, well, how can you picture Jesus like that? Well, because I don't see Jesus as God, but I do believe he was a very important figure. So it's just the universe's way of manifesting itself in your out of body experience in a way that you can acclimate into what ultimately ends up being who we are. It's a slow progression, right? It's a sort of healing progression from the moment you die of giving up that personality until you blend back in into all that is, right? Until you become part of whatever you call it, consciousness, energy, and then perhaps incarnate again. If if we're talking timelines and human timelines.
The book's called Back to the Beyond, Exploring Near-Death Experiences Through Hypnosis, and people can get that on Amazon. Can they get it other places?
Yeah. I mean, really any online booktailer, you can get it Barnes & Noble online. You can get it really anywhere. But if you visit backtothebeyond.com, there's a link where you can go to Amazon and buy the book. You can get the ebook for $6.99, and the soft cover is $16.99. Very inexpensive. It's a really great read. You know, if this topic is new to you, you'll learn a lot. I write a lot about not just the near-death experiences that people had and the transcripts of their regressions, but also, you know, what is an out-of-body experience? What is a near-death experience? How does hypnotherapy work? What are the connections between all of them? And then there's a chapter at the end based on what happens to us when we die. And if this topic is interesting, I promise it's not going to take you 6 months to get through this book. I've had people who have, it's, I think, what, 225, 226 pages. I've had people get through it in one sitting. It's a lot of people get through it in one sitting. So I highly recommend it, not just because I wrote it. And trust me, as an author, we make no money off of this book, pennies on the dollar. So by no means, this is a pure passion play. This is something that I wrote it because I want other people to perhaps get a sneak peek at the same kinds of things that I see on a regular basis, just to have faith and believe that there's more to life than what we see with our eyes every day, that there is something out there, and death isn't anything to be afraid of. And if anything, death is just just another way of describing what birth is.
But it's been great having you as a guest on the podcast. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Simon. This has been a true pleasure.
And that was an interview with Adam Dintz about his book, Back to the Beyond, Exploring Near-Death Experiences Through Hypnosis. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/pastlivespodcast or click on the button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. This is the free 1 hour version of the episode, and the extended episode is an hour and 24 minutes. If you join the $2 a month tier, you get an extended episode every month. If you join the $5 a month tier, you will have access to an extended episode every week and the back catalogue of extended episodes. Also, if you're a patron, you get a 25% discount when you book a past life regression session with me. And please check out my new podcast. It's called the Alien UFO Podcast, and I'll be releasing new episodes every Monday, and you can find it on almost every podcast app. And if you enjoy the podcast, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.